I'm Jerry Stoner, and welcome to the Gilboa Historical Society discussion on one-room schoolhouses. On the panel are Betty Matalevich. She is a shoe and a sour as a grandparent. Gail Schaefer, an old name in... the name is old. Thelma Seri. And Loretta Lonsbury. Well, each of these women has been trained to, well, three of the women have been trained to teach and can keep up with the energy level of children. Gail and I don't, and so we're going to get tired. I'd like to call it in just say an hour, which is just say at 3:15. There are some artifacts that people brought, pictures, etc. Please feel free to, if you've brought any, spread them out so that they don't get sort mixed together. Please remember that these are artifacts. Please don't handle them. Don't mix them up, certainly, so that people can take them home. We are recording this program. It's the copyright is held in the names of these four women. It is going to be free on the internet for nonprofit use, which you can download from GilboaHome.com. With this housekeeping out of the way, I'll start off, if I may, with Betty. Betty, what do you recall of the physical description, buildings, furniture, furnishings, facilities, class size in the Shoe Hollow School?
Okay. The schoolhouse, of course, was a one-room schoolhouse. The blackboards were on the first front row, all the way across the row, and there were two doors. And the one door and the front wall went out into sort of the woodshed, which later became our indoor plumbing. It was quite smelly because they used some kind of a lye in it. And that was for the boys on that side, and the girls had the one on this side. Okay. Then you went in, and it was all open. We had an organ. That kind of squeaked, as I remember. It was quite old, but we got it. And we had a pot-bellied stove, which we used, of course, in the winter. And then we had seats, which graduated in size from front to back. Now, the front seats were the smaller ones. That's where I always sat, because my feet never touched. From the whole time I was there, my feet never touched the floor when I sat in the seat. But they were wooden. The recitation people came up to sit in those front seats, as I recall. Most of the recitations took place up by the blackboards. We had a single row of double seats. Then we had two rows of four to a seat. And then we had another set of two rows over here. So at one point, apparently, the school had been very large. But when I went to school there, it was very small. We had hired hands that were up on the Terrence Meehan place, and their names were the Powells, and they came down over the hill every night and morning and went to the school. There were two. The girl's name was Teresa, and I think the boy's name was Jimmy, as I recall. Then the Decker Farm had hired help, and they came down the road, and the Wells boys came down the road, and that was it. Oh, our tenant people did when we had people with tenant with children, but usually we didn't have children. My grandfather gave up on that. but anyway, you graduated as you got older back, so that by the time you were in the 7th or 8th grade, you were sitting way in the back row. Now, the wooden desk had been carved very nicely by knives, pens, whatever, and so you'd be writing right along, and all of a sudden your pencil would go right down in the hole, okay? And then you had to start all over again because you had to have perfect penmanship. That was one of the big things that was stressed. You had to write well. I don't know what happened to me. But anyway, we used to have to spell a lot. I remember that. And I remember we used to do a lot of arithmetic on the board, which was never my forte. We had outdoor plumbing most of the time that I was there, and you had a little two-seater place and a two-seater place up on the hill up above the school. And you had a card by the door. One was for girls and one was for boys. And you had to turn the card when you went to the bathroom, okay? And then, of course, you turned it back when you came. And you were only allowed so long to go, okay? Because somebody else might need to go. When I was there from, well, our house was on the corner of the Shoe Hollow Decker Road, and the school was on the corner of Sour Shoe Hollow Road, so we were kind of kitty corner. And the teacher would come down, or else one of the older boys, usually one of the Wells boys, would go down to the house in the morning and get an earthen jar full of water. And then we all had our own cups. And they hung on the wall. They were washed once a week, whether they needed it or not. The teacher had a broom, and I remember she broomed it out. My first teacher was Mabel Becker. That was John Becker's wife, and she walked every morning and every night from the school down to her place, which, for the you people who are newer to the area, that's where that sawmill is on the Grand Gorge Road.
Crackerville.
I don't know what it's called.
Crackerville Sawmill.
Okay. But imagine that. And when her boys were, they attended school here. When they didn't have school, she used to make them walk with her. So we would have two extra boys on that particular day. And they were, that was interesting. One of them was the guy who owned the tire business over here. Original one, okay? I don't remember what their names were.
Paul.
Uh-huh. Okay, they were great. They were a great addition when they came because they could play a lot of games that they knew. And so we got to do a little different when they were there. Mabel taught my, well, anyway, I started school probably when I was three because I run away from home. That's where all the activity was, you see, up on the corner where the schoolhouse was. So I would run away from home, and I'd go up there, and the teachers were very nice. They'd let me stay as long as I behaved. Well, that wasn't very long. So I would get up. If a car went by, I would get up, for example, if I'd been sitting down supposedly doing my work, I would get up and run to the window and run to the door and wave because that's I knew everybody who went by, right? All the farmers. And that didn't go well with the teachers for some reason or other. So then they would take me by the hand and take me down to the road and watch me go down to my mother's. Mama, then I didn't get to go again for a while until I could run away again. But anyway, I went there from the time I was five, except in the winter, because we went to Virginia in the winter with my father in outside of Charlottesville, and my mother was a teacher. So she taught me down there. And then when I'd come back, I'd go back to school. And I stayed in the one-room schoolhouse until I was in the fifth grade. Then we went, the school closed because the Powells moved away, the Waymans moved away. We didn't have anybody living with us in the tenant house with children. So I was the only student from, I think it was April till June. And we had a very young teacher. Her name, she was just starting out. Oh, I'll give you who my teachers were. I had Mildred Lewis Bailey, and then Mabel Becker, and then my mother, Jessie Hamilton, and then Olive Franklin Secor. And Olive and I had a ball. We would get all of the work done in the morning. Then, after lunch, when my grandfather would hook up the horses, and maybe he'd go up on the flat to do something, we'd go down, get on the back of the horses, and ride up to the meadow, and then we'd call it a nature study walk. Okay? And we'd come home by way of the creek, and so we could find pollywogs and all kinds of interesting things along the way. It was a nature study walk. I remember that the nature study walks were one of the nicest things we did in the thing, because when the Wells boys were older than I was a lot, they would put me on their shoulders and they'd take turns and carry me if I got tired. Well, of course, I was little and I got tired fast. So I wound up being carried all over the hills. And we used to go up and pick mayflowers and all kinds I learned an awful lot that, you know, teachers don't have time for today. But it was an experience. Now, is that what you wanted?
Yep.
Okay.
Dale, how would you... How would you add to that, change that, or...
Well, a lot of similarities. Physically, our schoolhouse was a lot like what you described. We had to go in and the girls' restroom, the boys' restroom being there, and the big bell. And in the morning, the boys would usually ring the bell. Sometimes it took two of them, you know, it was a heavy bell. And they'd get that rope and pull the bell. That was a big deal. And I think we had two walls that were blackboards, as I recall, because we'd have, and our desks, we didn't have the same desk arrangement. Our desks were grouped by class. So our first grade class was four kids, three girls and a boy. And so our desks were grouped together kind of facing each other in a little square unit. And then the next class. And as I recall, one of the best things about it was that you could go along at your own pace. Because if you were ready for the next grade, say in arithmetic, you just listen in to their lessons. Or if some of the kids were lagging a little, the older kids would help the younger kids. There was a lot of real supportive and flexible learning that went on that was really beneficial, I think, you know. And our teacher was Mrs. Kaiser. I bet a lot of you knew Wilhelmina Kaiser. She was wonderful. And she lived right next door to the schoolhouse, she and her husband Fred. And we had, I would say, probably a maximum ever of 18 maybe kids in the whole. It was grades 1 through 8. And then after 8th grade, you went to Gilboa School. Now, I only spent my first year in the one-room school because I would have been there through 8th grade, but it burned down at the end of our first grade. So what happened was the fellow who was in charge of keeping the fire going in the winter, in the cold months, and tending the furnace, he drank a lot. And one morning, he overstoked the furnace, I guess, and left. And it was very close to the additional wood supply, so it all caught fire and burned down. And we were heartbroken. And I think that was the only time ever that I hated school, was the first time we came up to Gilboa School. It was so alien to us because we had this close-knit little family in our one-room schoolhouse and this teacher who was so close to all of us, you know. And we came up here where you had this huge class and you were the newcomers. We were the newcomers. And you had to move around to go to lunch and different things that we weren't used to. And you had to get permission for different things. And the teacher we had was very, very stern, the first grade teacher, compared to our teacher who did. It was the most miserable trauma for us adjusting to that. But by the time we went the next year, then we adjusted. Everything was okay. But that first period was at the big school was just awful for all of us. But the one-room schoolhouse was such a special memory. And we would have spelling bees. And I remember spelling bees where you do, and I think they would do it sort of with different grade levels grouped, you know. And then they'd also do a lot of arithmetic at the board. And I remember Mrs. Kaiser had a great big map that she'd pull down and talk about certain history things. And as I said, we could listen in. If we were in first grade and wanted to listen to the fourth grade lesson, you know, you could do that. And often because we had these great big huge blackboards, she would leave the lesson up on the blackboard and then she'd move on to teach another class. And you could still, you know, look up and refer to what she left on the blackboard. And sometimes she'd do very creative things like tell a story and do take the chalk on the blackboard and make a drawing while she was telling the story. I remember her doing a lot of that. And we had music and things too. But as far as the physical part of it, one thing I wanted to point out too that really I was surprised about, because after my father and uncle and aunt, my mother and everybody had passed away, I went through a lot of the records and things in the house and the barn, and I found a ledger. I wanted to bring it today, but I couldn't find where I put it. But my Uncle Stanley, my great-uncle Stanley, who had the farm, apparently was at one time the treasurer of the school district. And I was surprised when I went through this ledger that it looked like there were 12 one-room schoolhouses in the Blenheim School District.
Wow.
Now, my brother and I could account for 7 of them, so we're thinking maybe the district went into some of the adjacent towns as well. But 12 one-room schoolhouses, and because all the kids were farm kids, and you had to be in walking distance to get to a school. So they had, I believe, Gertrude Haverly told me once that she kind of did a circuit as a one-room teacher, going from school to school, different periods. So anyway, it was a great experience, and we were right by the Schoharie Creek, so we'd go out to recess and play out there in the, you know, in the back with when the weather was nice, and had a lot of good times at recess too. So, oh, and as far as the bathrooms, like we didn't have indoor plumbing on the farm at that time, so we thought it was a real improvement because it wasn't exactly, you know, indoor flush toilets, but it was indoors. So that was a big improvement. So we got the indoor plumbing at the farm.
And the toilet paper was Montgomery and Sears and Roebuck catalog.
I guess I want to pass it on to Thelma.
My first teacher was Mr. Fancher, and he lived in Brecabine, and he came up to Guinea. We had a red schoolhouse, like schoolhouses were supposed to be. And I was the only pupil the first day.
Wow.
So Mr. Fancher walked all the way from Brecabine up to Guinea, which is about 2 or 3 miles, and came to school. He was a big man. He smelled like tobacco, but I don't know if he smoked or not, but anyway, he smelled good. And I'd sit on his lap, and he'd read stories to me. I think that's the most I remember. There are stories that Mr. Fancher read to me. There wasn't a very big library. It was where the chimney place was in the back, and there were books back there, and he'd pick out something. I don't even know what it was all about. Probably I didn't understand a third of it because I was so little. That was my first year in school. But anyway, I loved Mr. Fancher. Then somebody else came to school. Paul Bout came with his dog. So there was Thelma and Paul Bout and the teacher. And as time went on, there were more people. Matthijs boys, you know, Jay and Ford, the twins. They were in that school, and they were just dear. I loved them. And they had a cousin, William Matthijs, who has relatives still around here, which you probably know. And Ginny and me, and then there was the next teacher we had, Mr. Matthijs found in Albany. She was supposed to be a really lot bitter, you know, because she came from far away. You didn't know who she was. And she wore a hat. She wore a hat all day. They used to call her the germ bug teacher because when she ate her sandwich, she put the paper, the wax paper around it. We didn't even have any wax paper. But we had nice sandwiches. And my friend, Fran Sutter, used to say, you know, she didn't like her sandwiches because they were roast pork and roast beef and everything from the farm. And somebody come to school with a salmon sandwich, so she'd trade with them. Can you imagine which one was the best sandwich? Yes, and they were very all few in the school sometimes. And my mother taught in all the school districts of Gilboa. Sometimes she'd have a few. Sometimes she'd have as many as 18 kids in grades 1 through 8. And I wanted to tell you about the clothes we wore. You know, girls didn't and boys didn't have snow pants. My soul, I had those long drawers, and I hated the thing. Did you hate them?
Yeah.
And the stockings would never go up over them, and you could never get them smoothed out on the bottom. They were the most miserablest things you could ever ask them to wear. And the cotton stockings. And we didn't have any snow pants. And my mother drove a buggy, a one-horse buggy, when she went to school in all the different places where she taught. And I thought that was a lot of fun, you know, to go to school with Mama when we didn't have school in Guinea. So if she had school and we didn't have school, I'd ride in the buggy with Mama. One night, we're coming home. We're coming down Schoolhouse Hill, which is a big, long hill just before you get to my house. And the horse got anxious to get home and have some oats because he ran away. And we had a clothes basket of clothes that we'd picked up at Miss Reed's. She did the laundry for us. And the clothes basket flew off, and Louie fell in the clothes basket. Mama and I fell on the rocks, and Paul hit a stone and bumped his head, got a little cut on his head. His father thought he had fractured his skull. He didn't. Oh, let's see. Then we had a superintendent. They came to the school every once in a while. His name was Orlando J. Ives. He lived in Jefferson, And he'd come, and you know, we kids thought, oh my gosh, he's important. He's the superintendent, you know. We have to behave.
Yeah.
And he was a soft-spoken man. You could hardly hear him because he whispered like. And Mama would always welcome him and want him, if he wanted to watch a class. He didn't want to watch a class. He wanted to give a test. I didn't like that idea so much, but he did every time he came. He gave us a test. I suppose that way he could find out if Mom had taught everything right. He could find out if any of the kids in the class knew anything. He was a nice man, though. But that name, Orlando J. Ives. Let's see. Well, Mama taught geography and health. And we had books and maps. We had a chart, a big chart like this up front. It had birds on it. We played games. It was put out by Arm & Hammer. The company sent them to all the one-room schools. And it had robins and bluebirds and scarlet tanagers and woodpeckers of all sorts and imaginations. But anyway, it was interesting, and we would play games with it. You know, if you could name this one, then you could pass the pointer on to the next person and see if they could name the next one. Or you'd point to it, see if they knew what it was. Well, it was fun because we played it like a game. And the water was a water peel. We went down to the Moore's farm and with the water peel. I have a picture of Jay Matthijs and William going down for with that water pail to get water for the day. We had a dipper. Everybody drank out of the dipper. We all got the chicken pox. We all got the chicken pox. We all got the measles. We all got the measles. But it was we were pretty healthy. And we were very happy. And one teacher I had did music. I think that was the nicest thing. Her name was Mrs. Sellers. She was a minister's daughter, and she brought a little organ, and she played the organ, and she played tunes, hymns, and other things, and we'd sing. And Selma liked that part, the best of all, yes. And it was good to go to the little school, and I listened to everybody else, too, because I was the little one sometimes. You could learn a lot from listening to the kids who were in the upper grade, and it was fun. And we always had a good time, and we had sandwiches. We had interesting sandwiches, and then we'd toast them. You know those wire toasters that you lay the sandwiches on? Well, we had an old hot picking stove that was like this, and the coals would get bright red. So we would put our toaster over the top. What good toast that was. And the sandwiches and the fat from the meat would run out in the fire, and it tasted good. I liked one-room schools. My mother taught for 25 years in one-room schools. I couldn't have gone to college if she hadn't taught in morning school, because she earned $1,000 for the whole year, and my tuition was $500 each semester at Ithaca College.
Wow.
That's a sacrifice. I hope some of you went. I hope you enjoyed it as much as all of us did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what I can add. I mean, the school that I went to was exactly like theirs, except we had a outdoor privy with the boys on one side and girls on the other. So you didn't have to turn any signs.
Okay.
And I remember the boys would have to go down to DeWitt to get the water, and they put it in the earthen jug with the spigot on the bottom. And we used paper cups, and when we ran out, you can fold paper to make a paper cup. Of course, it leaks through if you do that. But that's the way. We didn't have any dippers or everybody's cups. I don't remember who started the fire. I don't think Miss Wyckoff did. That's who my teacher was for 6 years, Helen Wyckoff.
Helen Carson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she was Miss Wyckoff when she was teaching our school. She became Mrs. Carson when she came down to the big school. She was the nicest person in the whole world.
Clear yeah. person.
She taught us all the birds and the flowers, and we went on the walk, nature walks, as she says. She taught me how to play the organ. We had an organ. Mm. She always put on a little Christmas program for our parents. I remember one year I read the letter that, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. That was mine. We all had to learn pieces to sing, and we always sang some songs. I don't think we ever did a play because there was only five of us. There was Bill Proudman and myself in our class. And then my brother Don and Dayton DeWitt and Eddie Proudman in the other class. And that was the school. Mm. And then we got the people above our house.
had a hired man, and they had a daughter, and she came for a while. Her name was Bout. And in the morning, I could ride on the bus down to the school, but at night I had to walk home because the bus didn't come back from Gilbo in time. Let's see, what else did we do? We played fox and geese in the winter time. That was the most fun we spent. You know, recess after recess, building the roads and the things, and then we played that all winter long. Probably nobody knows what fox and geese is.
Yeah, the floor shaking their head, and a number of people saying, what's this? What is
it? Tell us about it.
I really don't remember that much.
Well, it's a circle that you made in the snow, and then you made cross places like
and
this.
And you had safety zones, I know.
Yeah. The center was a safety.
Right. And you had the idea was to get in that, but you had to keep moving.
It was like pie. The roads were came in like pies, and you tried to get, and they tried to catch you.
Yeah.
And you went like the Dickens so that you wouldn't get caught.
Who was the goose and who was the fox?
The fox was whoever was it.
Okay.
And you were the geese, the rest of the school, okay? And you tried your darndest not to get caught, but, you know, if you had short legs like I did, I wound up in the middle more than any place else. We played Anthony over. Did you play that in your game?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was two trees outside our school, and there was I guess it was just a limb that went across. And it was like a volleyball game, you know, and we played that. And we played your fox and geese. And we had houses and barns all around the fields around the school. And so we always were farmers. And I was, when the latter years, I got to be the mother. Until then, I was the child. But the boys were the father and the son. And so we had wheels that were wheels from, I don't know what they were from, but we boom all around the place. And we had my grandfather had a big Holstein bull. And he had his dairy, you know, a farm, and the cows came on the field where our barns were over there. So this one day, the bull came up over the bank unexpectedly, and he didn't want us in his territory, so he began to paw and roar and stuff, and came to the fence. Well, we came flying to the school and stayed inside.
Wow.
Well, then it was time to go home, and the bull wasn't going to let us go home because some of us had to walk by.
You were foxes, and
he was big, and he was a little bit bigger than we were. So we stayed in the school. I don't remember exactly how long, but eventually I remember the teacher let us out, and we went out through the night pasture, which was across the road from the sour road, and way down under the bank, past the house, way up around the barn, and up to the house, okay? And the bull was still pawing up there waiting for us, you know? But you had a lot of different things happen that don't happen today. We had a library, too.
Huh?
Yeah, it was under the chimney. We also had a big, I'm talking too much. We had a big leather case, and it had all kinds of things that you could make pictures with. You know, you stamp. And the teacher used to make worksheets for us with these things, and we used to color them. It was our artist thing. You know, she did a lot of work. The teachers really worked hard. My grandfather used to go up and light the fire in the morning, so that the schoolhouse was warm. But the boys on the way down were pretty sneaky. In the winter, when they could get pitch, they'd bring it and put it in their pockets, and when the fire got good and hot, they'd put the pitch on the stove, and it would go, you know, and everybody would jump, and it would go, it was caused quite a stir. And then the teacher would always want to know who did it. Of course, nobody knew. But, yeah. I used to go home for lunch. I never got to take a sandwich like you did because I had to go home for lunch. And we used to go and play in the barn at recess time. We had a barn that had an upper story platform.
Hay
mow? Yeah, well, no, not a hay mow, though. The rope, you drove in a barn bridge and you were up on the top of the barn. Okay, and then you pitched the hay down into the mow. Mm-hmm. And we used to go when the hay season was over, of course, in the fall. And we would jump off the barn floor into the haymow. That was fun because we had a stairway that you could climb back up. And this was, well, one day we discovered there were bees. We didn't do that anymore. That's it.
Does anyone have questions? Yeah.
I'd like to ask Thelma. I know that your mother taught Owlsville School.
She did.
And I wondered if you could recollect anything to tell us about Owlsville. We have renovated that now, and my daughter here lives in it.
Oh, well, nice. Yeah, I used to visit that school Mama taught there. And she had quite a good-sized class because the young people from the Wyckoff Farm who worked on the farm came. Then besides that, there was Rosemary and Mildred, and there was Marion and Miriam Wyckoff. What was her brother's name?
Clinton.
Clinton, that's it. Yes, so they were all there, and I would visit sometimes, and Mama went there. She would ride on a bus with us from Mackey. Now, up in Mackey, there's an old store. It's falling down now. It was the Frank and Clapper store. I have a glass from it that's Frank and Clapper on. And we would get on the bus at right there, and Mama would ride too, and we'd all ride down. We would go way down to the Central School, but Mama would get off by the Owlsville School and go to teach. And always there was somebody who would build a fire. Well, I told you this one time before, I think. There was a little boy who worked for Harry Wyckoff, the senior Harry Wyckoff. And he was very cross-eyed and very naughty. And Mama had spanked him, I think, the day before. So he was supposed to build the fire. So he didn't build the fire. He was sitting on the steps when Mama got there. And he said to her, "You can build your own, you know, kind of fire, Miss Moore." And so she didn't get the fire built that day, but she did it, you know. But the kids were good. And Mama always tried to teach all of them so they could make change in store, so they could read the newspaper a little bit, so that they could be in part of the community and they could take part, and that they didn't feel as if they didn't know. She wanted them to be part. She wanted them to like people. And people came to visit my mama years after she stopped teaching. They'd come down our road and stop in the farm. Miss Moore lived here, you know. They were so glad to see her. She had some boys and girls in the Row District, which is over by where the Upper Dam is, who were from New York. They were named the Augusta. Mama always thought that the father was a bootlegger. You know, there was a time when there were bootleggers around. Yes, and so Mama suspected that because he wasn't homeless. But the kids were so nice. Mama loved those kids. There was a boy, Louie, and a girl. Can't remember her name. Anyway, the girl became a teacher and came back later to see Mom. That made her happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how the teachers remember these children after they grew up? They always, like Aunt Helen, I thought, this one girl, and Aunt Helen says, "Well, hello." I don't remember what her name was. And Aunt Helen said, "Don't you know me?" And the little girl says, "No." She says, "Well, I was your teacher, Helen Wyckoff." And she says, "Why, I thought you'd be an old prune."
I remember one thing when you said something about somebody misbehaving. Mrs. Kaiser would stand people in the corner. If you misbehaved, you know, you had to stand in the corner for like, I don't know, how long. And then she had in her desk a rubber hose.
Yeah.
That was the ultimate penalty. So I don't remember, I think one time I remember her ever using it when I was there. But the threat of it was a real deterrent to bad behavior because she'd mentioned, if you want the rubber hose, just keep it up or something. But one time, she lived next door, and sometimes she would go home for lunch break, and she'd tell us to behave. And one of the older kids was supposed to be in charge to make sure to behave. But one time, the bigger boys decided to lock her out of the schoolhouse. Yeah, and this went on for a while, and finally they opened it up. And I think he did get the rubber hose. Not real badly, but he got a taste of it. And the other thing, I got to relate this, and Billy will get a charge out of this. When I was going through all the, you know, old records and everything, I came across a little letter that Mrs. Kaiser must have, well, mine, must have given to my father. It was written by my brother when he was probably in second grade or something, in this little handwriting. It says, "Dear Mrs. Kaiser, thank you for my prize. I used it to get something, I don't know." So I showed it to my brother and I said, "Do you remember what this was?" I'm thinking, oh, he must have won a spelling bee or something. He thought a minute and he says, "I remember she told me that if I could be quiet for 3 or 4 days in a row, I would get a prize." That was it. Yeah.
The recently there's been a spate of emails coming in that have test questions. We had published some test questions from New York State for 5th, 6th, and 7th graders. They were difficult questions. I mean, you know, they were thinking-type questions. We got one from Ohio or Indiana, wherever the heck it was. Those, again, state questions of parsing sentences by structure of the language.
Yeah.
I mean, no way. Ellen was an English major and a master's from Penn State, and we had to work on this thing. How did, you know, the kids got, I won't say they got better education, but they sure got...
Yeah,
well, right.
Go, Gail. Tell us about
it. Mrs. Ames used to have a diagram sentence. So you'd have a line like this, and you'd put the subject here and the predicate here.
Yeah.
And then you'd put the prepositions that modified the subject or the predicate, and you knew that the modification ones were adjectives, the ones for the verbs were adverbs, and then you knew that this was a preposition, so you made a little short line and put the rest of the prepositional phrase down here. And we knew when it was a direct object, we made a straight line. When it was just a
indirect object.
Well, predicate and nominative. If you remember what they were, I'm not sure I do. You put a slanted line.
Yeah, we got the fundamentals. And of course, I had Mrs. Ames later up here at Gilboa, not in the elementary school, but she drilled that into us.
I had her in Gilboa.
She
had a workbook like this.
She was
around.
Really, really
she was great.
Yeah.
She's a coach, too, for public speaking. Yep. She coached me for all the public speaking I ever did. She's a good woman. Smart.
Yeah, smart. Yeah.
Loretta, did you come up at the big school in 6th grade or 8th?
7th. We came down in the 7th grade.
Is that because of school burn?
No, that's when you went down to the Gilboa school. The school burnt in the summertime. I think it was struck by lightning, right?
Yep.
But I think it might have been closed before that.
Oh.
Because they were talking about closing it for a number of years because they didn't have that many students up there.
Did Johnny Moe's kids start there?
Patty came to school. Miss Wyckoff would stop and get her, and then she would ride back with Miss Wyckoff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where was that school located?
Up above Manor Kill. You know where DeWitt's farm was?
Yeah.
All right, it was right up above there.
Oh, right on East Conville Road, up that road?
No.
Above Manor Kill.
Just on the
higher mountain. There's an open field past the house, and right in the upper corner of that field, wasn't it?
Okay.
I believe that the Blenheim school that I went to was the last operating one of the schoolhouse in Schoharie County.
Where was that located?
It's right where at the foot of the hill where the fire hall now is, right on that property where the parking lot actually, the fire hall was. And right next door was Mrs. Kaiser's house, which was still there until the pipeline explosion. And but we're fortunate too, in Blenheim, the other school that my father went to is still there, down by the Blenheim Bridge. And that was our town hall for a long time until we built the new one. So when they converted that to the town hall, my father saved all the school desks. So he had them in our barn. And when they converted it to a museum, he gave all those desks to the Blenheim Museum. And now, when Josie Fuller was alive as our town historian, she used to open it up and have kids from Gilboa and Schoharie and Middleburg come down for a day and do a day in the schoolroom. And so you could, I'll just leave this flyer with you, Jerry, because on July 19th, we're going to have the schoolhouse open, and there's going to be a Blenheim Bridge art walk. They're going to have artworks all along the Blenheim Bridge that day. But we'll have the schoolhouse open, so if you want to come see the old desks and the old, you know, slates and everything, it'll all be open for a day.
Dale, which is the upper school and which is the lower school in Blenheim?
Well, the one that that still exists down by the Blenheim Bridge would be the lower school. We call that the lower street, the lower village, down street. And then the upper village, up street, is the part toward the old creamery. That's where our school was, the upper village, yeah. I don't know why they had two right in the same village. That's a puzzle that my brother and I wish we had asked my father about.
Because Blenheim and North Blenheim used to be the mailing address.
Well, you know, that's a real anomaly, you know, because Gilboa used to be part of the town of Blenheim.
Mm-hmm.
And when they split it, North Blenheim was now in the south part of Blenheim. And South Gilboa used to be South Blenheim, and it's in the north part of Gilboa. When you try to explain to outsiders, it makes no sense at all.
I have another little... my mother, Maud Haskin, went to the... Which one? Lower school.
Did
it?
That's the one my father and uncle went to, yeah.
My brother's picture of the one he was going to me.
Wow.
And
oh, golly.
And they lived on the Valenti Place, so they had to walk and 4 miles through the woods.
Now, was Gertrude Haverly your teacher? Was Gertrude Haverly your teacher?
I think it was before that.
Before that.
Way back.
Well, you're right.
Gertrude
that would have been
Haverly.
Earlier. Do you remember who your teacher was?
Gertrude was my teacher.
Was she really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I think so.
She was a dear. Yeah.
And going back while you got me, when I was 11, I went to the Broome Center School, and Thelma's mother was my teacher.
Wow.
And I was 11, and Thelma was 5. And
I have a picture of us. I do.
Once in a while, our mother
wow.
would bring Thelma to school. They didn't go that early, but I've known Thelma that long.
Wow.
In this picture, Maud is there, and I'm there.
Yep, my gosh.
Yeah.
And
I don't think it's just the Broome Center School though, because there are a whole bunch of Hubbards there. I think it was the last day of school thing.
Now these are the stuff.
They were panty raiders.
Yeah, shows you the stockings. And, yeah. And now like Maud is right. That's Maud right there. And this is Selma right here.
Wow, isn't it?
Yeah.
And another thing, when I went to school with Selma's mother, Betty mentioned they picked Mayflowers when she went to school. We didn't pick Mayflowers. We went to Winston Duck Leaf, and it didn't make your mother happy.
Well, what the boys used to do with us at recess, they'd get garter snakes and chase the girls with the garter snakes.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big recess activity.
Bring out the holes.
That's mine.
Yeah.
Wow.
On the leaf issue, this little boy had eaten the leaf and the teacher didn't like it, so she sent him home. Well, his mother didn't like it that he got sent home, and she come took him by the arm and brought him back to school. And she said, "You're supposed to learn him, not smell him."
Oh my God!
Jerry?
Yes.
I hate to date myself, but I remember, and I was trying to think when it was. It had to be about 1930, and probably maybe 35, 36. Mm-hmm. Gilboa School was in operation, the big school. I never went to a one-room school. My brother did, over on the South Gilboa Road, where there's a store now. It's a terrible looking place right now, but anyway. That's where my brother went to school, and I did visit that one-room schoolhouse with him once. But later on, my father contracted with the school, and Franklin Hess was the one who paid him. He was clerk at the time. And he brought the kids from the South Gilboa Road down to meet the main bus, because they didn't apparently go off the road then. And guess what he used? He used a horse and buggy.
Okay.
With the steering, you know, with the spring coming up and all that.
Oh, right.
And I used to ride with him once in a while. And I can tell you, I was trying to think of the kids that run, but mainly I remember, oh gosh, Carolyn, your mother-in-law.
Irene Brown
was Irene Merwin. And the Merwin, she lived with her aunt and uncle, who were Richard Merwin, who lived on South Gibraltar Road where the Orlandos live now. That was Richard Merwin's farm. And then you went up, the next place up was Eva Fowler. And she had two sons, Ralph and Reggie. And then you went on up to what is now Urach, and that was Joe Gallo. And he was a bootlicker.
He was in school when I was in school.
Yeah, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So I can remember my father bringing them all down in that buggy, and there wasn't room for me, I guess, because I rode on Irene Brown flat and down to meet the main bus.
Huh?
So that had to be in the middle 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if anybody else ever met the main bus with a horse and buggy.
Yes, we did, because we went from Guinea over to Mackey's Corners. I told you we waited in the Franklin Clapper store.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we would go, when the roads were good, we'd go with the car. But when the roads were bad, we'd have to go with the horse and buggy.
Mm-hmm.
And we had sinkholes in the road, you know, and my brother Louis said, if you go fast enough, you won't sink down. I know they'd say, I'm going to shut my eyes, I'm going to die, I'm going to shut my eyes. And he'd go, like this, and we'd go right down in the mud.
And I also remember visiting the Blend Schoolhouse, but now it had to be the lower one.
Yeah.
And that was Helen Patchen's list.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My father's cousin.
My cousin lived in Blenheim. So I visited her once.
Yeah.
And I went to that one room schoolhouse with her a day. And Helen had all these different classes.
Yeah.
And they all learned. So.
Yeah.
But I wasn't privileged. I went to the main Gibraltar school in Oakland.
I think Hilda Matice also taught in the one room schoolhouse.
I would think so, because both Mrs. Kaiser and Mrs. McKay and Helen Wycup Carson all taught at Gilboa when I went there to work. They were teaching there.
And all three of them were cousins of mine.
Oh, really?
Of my dad.
You know, I had Mrs. Kaiser in fifth grade at Gilboa.
Yeah.
And she did use the rubber hose.
Yep.
There was one kid that almost got it daily, and it was
ooh,
like, duck and cover.
Oh, boy.
I never put that in the rock with the rubber hose. That was just a
yeah.
So she did use it almost daily.
Wow. See, I was only there 1 year, so I only recall that one incident. But yeah,
wow.
My brother probably remember a few more.
Yeah.
We also had a little mouse that we named Timothy. He was like the pet. Well, probably more than one mouse. But we all thought he was a whole mouse. Timothy had a name. Yeah. But one thing that I was thinking about, how the whole, it became a vanishing part of the country, you know, but I think at one time there was in the public school system, there was a requirement that there had to be a schoolhouse within a certain minimum distance of every kid in a certain age, right? And that's why they had so many of them. But I came across also in our family papers, July 4th, 1836, in Sepia Ink, a list of the petty jurors of Blenheim. And you could tell by the list, it was all in alphabetical order, that you had to be a male and a property owner to be on the jury. So they had all these people listed with their occupation. And it was like more than 90%, farmer, farmer, farmer. And then there'd be a physician and a cooper. There's several coopers and a clothier, which is probably general store, but mostly farmers, you know. And now it's just the opposite. That we have three working farms left in Blenheim. And that's typical of all our towns. When we were growing up, all those kids I went to school with in my first year class were all from farms. and most of the school, you know, now it's a very small percentage, so.
Praise God the valley is still there and all that good soil, because then we wouldn't have any corn, would we? Or any strawberries pretty soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still farmed, but it isn't in small farms. It's the Shaw's and the Barber's.
Yeah. It used to be Burton and Tank, too.
Yeah.
And the Caravan. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're further down. They're in Schoharie. Yeah.
Yeah. Vanishing.
I have one more question.
Yes.
Not a question. Just when my mother-in-law, Kate Matthijs, started teaching in the Colmesville School, she had just graduated from the Stanford Seminary. Mm-hmm. She was 18 years old, and she had 30 students.
Wow.
Now, I've got a picture of
Brian
back there, and a lot of them were older than 18, and a lot of them were taller than Kate. She was a short person. And she told me a few years ago, she wrote up her daily schedule and all that. I've got that written over there, too. There's other pictures of schools over there. But I thought 30 kids when she was only 18.
That's a lot.
Yeah. My grandmother's oldest sister, Deli Shue, that would be. She came down to Blenheim, just one of the schools, and she had just finished eighth grade. And they hired her to teach. Now, the school had run out two men teachers.
Oh, boy.
And everybody, when she went down and they hired her, the whole, you know, little community said, oh, she wouldn't last long. You know, she taught there for 2 or 3 years.
Really?
Yep. 18 years old. And she was able to keep order.
Wow.
But she was a large lady. I mean, I was petrified of her when I was little. Because she was really big, you know. And she looked huge to me.
Nice.
And she must have been those little kids, too.
Okay.
There's a article that came in from Arizona, I believe, on a one-room schoolhouse. And they had selections as to how you choose your teachers. And you had to be such and such age, et cetera. Fine. If you were male, you could have one night per week to go courting.
Mm.
If you went to church regularly and were male, you could have two nights per week to go courting.
Cool.
If you were female and single and you wanted to go courting, or get married or be married, you were fired.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, but when I went to teach in Middleburg, which was 1939, my contract said I must live in town. If you get married, you lose your job.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
that's true. The first year I taught, I was visited by one of the ladies from Walton. I was teaching in Margaretville, and she wanted me because my mother had been active in the Republican Party here in Gilboa for years, and she wanted me to take part in the Republican Party then in Margaretville. And about a day later, I got a little communique from I've forgotten now who it was from exactly, but in other words, it told me that the president of the Board of Education down there was a Democrat, and I better not join the Republican Party.
Yeah, yeah. I believe that. Chris and I have a picture of the school and the children that were there when my mother taught. You may have it.
That's great.
In fact, I have quite a few of the schools that I plan to give to you. Put on file up here, if you'd like to have them. I don't know all the names of the people, though. Maude Haskins helped me with some of them, yes.
I'd like to tell Kristen, I have a picture of the Owlsville students in 1897.
Oh.
My father was 12 years old at the time, and he's the only one that I know. I know that he and Judge Frith both went to school there and remained friends all their lives. And whether Judge Frith is in that picture, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know that he went to that old school.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
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 My be in Lenham.
He might have gone to more than one, I don't know.
I was going to say, he lived in Lenham.
I would think he would go to Blenheim,
yeah. He might have gone to more than one at certain
right,
place.
Because he was my father's
He was a cousin of our crew.
Well, there was, we're all related.
We're all related in this room.
You guys.
We were in Old Gilboa. Some of the Blenheim. We're in
yeah.
Old Gilboa.
Old Gilboa, okay.
Stop the Fanning history.
I used to always tease him when I'd run it. I'd say, ignorance is bliss. Oh, he had a good sense of humor.
Before he got the hose out.
Well, you know, I was telling somebody this earlier. Judge Bliss always told me, now, when I got elected to the assembly, he says, now, you have to go visit our cousin, Warren Anderson, the majority leader, who was a Matthijs from
Married
Guinea.
To
His
Matthijs.
Mother was a Matthijs from Guinea.
Yeah.
So, I always had a kidding relationship with Warren Anderson, you know, and he used to, we'd wink at each other when we went by, and he'd say, now, you're a Democrat, I'm a Republican, so we'll just keep this among ourselves, you know.
Well, as you get on to IAD, it tells you that the Warren Anderson.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he had that built, yeah.
His
well, Judge Bliss is the one that before he was judge, he was a lawyer.
Yeah.
Took on New York City. They
oh,
were
yeah.
going to
yeah.
pay any
yeah,
taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. He
my dad was
right.
on the first school board, and he said they yeah. never would have had a high school here.
Yeah. That was a landmark case that he won. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, Peggy Bliss tells me that if we go down in the basement of the county clerk's building, there are like 30 boxes of his archives that she thinks we could find that case in, because we haven't been able to find it for the documented. Yeah.
Yeah, New York City doesn't like that,
no. No, I'm sure.
Probably sabotaged it.
Yeah.
You have to realize what a blessing it was for the dam, actually. It was sad for the people who lost their homes, but it was such a blessing to the young people of the community, because we were one of the first central schools in the county, mm-hmm. with Gilboa and Sharon Springs.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh. Because we had money.
Yeah.
We had New York City's money.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, 1936 was the first graduating class?
No. I was 35.
35. Okay. 35.
No.
34.
Mildred King was 32.
32, okay.
31 or 32.
Yeah. They didn't all go to high school, though. They went to the post office and every other place downtown.
Now, there must have been some one-room schoolhouses in the old village of Gilboa, too, right?
Who knows? It was burned up.
The old stone schoolhouse, and then the one that we have the pictures of is quite modern.
Yeah.
But Dr. Fanning was telling, when I read his book last night again, about going to the old stone schoolhouse.
Wow.
And it was up the further end of the village.
Huh.
Now, how about the museum that was moved from here? Was that not a schoolhouse? Or we're not really sure. That was built in 1926 for a school to replace what was That was a schoolhouse then. Oh, it
mm-hmm.
replaced. That's what I have. Okay.
It was down by the church and the schoolhouse, or together, down by the river.
Yeah. Yes. See, there's still
it was
one.
Built at school. Right. It was built
for way up on our hill. There's still one, a little schoolhouse that's a hunting camp now. And it was, they had their own schoolhouse way up there where they had those hardscrabble farms. And in the Depression, all those farms disappeared. And it's all forest now. But that little schoolhouse is still there.
Where is that?
Way up on Burt Hill, up at the top.
My sister lives in the Guinea school. They made it into a home.
Oh,
she visited.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I can't remember his name, but there was a man from Coatesville doing all the one-room schoolhouses that were still standing. And I went all around Coatesville and Gilboa, and over there, the pictures on this side are all the ones that are still standing.
Yeah.
And they're still standing today.
Well, there are still a couple dozen, I think, in the United States operating in places like Montana and Idaho. I read an article some time ago. I might have the number wrong, but there were more than I would have expected. You know. in some real remote areas.
One of the Midwestern educational universities has put forth a proposal, cosmopolitan one-room school. It's a one-room schoolhouse for New York City.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, and it's economic.
Mm. I love that, and the fact that it's something is very interesting. Yeah. Well, there were some real positive things, and you know, when you mentioned the fundamentals, I mean, like diagramming sentences and grammar and arithmetic. I mean, we really did get the basics drilled into us.
One of the questions
grammar.
That came up was, what two words, what two types of words are not modified by number or by gender or by placement in the sentence? And it's wild. They're, you know, you work like hell. I mean, we could only come up with one of them. I don't even remember what that was. But, I mean, this stuff is... My mother's line at one point was, no form of the accusative case can take a something. I don't even remember what it is or what
the accusative case.
Case.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is...
You don't really need it, sir.
Well, you know, I was listening to the radio yesterday, and the radio broadcaster, I won't mention his name, said, well, you know, my son's only 9, so I haven't went there yet.
Oh, dear.
And then, and you hear this on even national broadcasting sometimes. Basic grammar, we had that drilled into us, basic grammar, at an early age. And I don't see how these journalists can get to that level and make these basic mistakes. It just makes me cringe when I hear that, you know?
Yeah.
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 Mrs. Ames would be just distraught. She would not permit that.
Is there anything else that we'd like to add?
Oh, I think we covered the waterfront, don't you think so?
Didn't cover the waterfront.
I'll mention one thing, talking about misbehavior. This wasn't in school, but in recess. Sometimes Mrs. Kaiser would go home during the lunch break or recess. And one year, my brother and John Scholl, they were best buddies. And it was the time of year when the ice jam was coming down the creek. And they thought they would walk across piece by piece on the ice floes across the creek. And Fred, her husband, reported this to my father. And the two of them were in big, big trouble. Yeah, so sometimes... They get into trouble even outside the schoolhouse. I don't know. I think my brother earned that prize when he was quiet for 3 days. Yeah.
He didn't get it from anybody strange.
No, he didn't. He was a chip off the old block. Yeah. But it was, you know, Thelma's right. It was a lot of fun. It was a period that you'll always remember, a kind of unique experience. I wish I'd had more than a year in it because I really did enjoy it. Yeah.
There's one more thing that you'd be amazed at today. We used to ride downhill when the weather permitted, you know, when the snowbanks are high, and we would go up to what we called the fourth breaker, which was quite a ways up above the school, and we would get on our sleighs and ride down the hill. Well, of course, you're going into the main road when you hit the Shoe Hollow Road, you know, I mean, that was the thoroughfare. So one kid would stay down there. Now, if there was a car coming, he'd yell, and then you ditched it. But if there was no car coming, you could turn and go down the main road and go down the Decker Road, go way down to the bridge. Or you could go across our field and go down over the bank and go under the barbed wire. Well, that was all right to do if the snow was low enough. If the snow wasn't low enough, the barbed wire caught you. And I have ripped several different coats.
Well, believe it or not, when I was in second grade at Gilboa, a boy in our class was killed sleigh riding. Mm-hmm. He didn't get off in time, and it hit a stone wall.
Yeah.
A boy in our second
so
grade class.
So my uncle had a big old sleigh, and I had a little one. Well, my little one got broken. I think some one of the boys jumped on it and broke it or something anyway. So I got to use the big one. But my uncle said to John Wells, who was 2 years older than I, now you are going to be in charge of the sleigh. Betty, don't let Betty do it. Well, John took me down one time. From there on in, I took it down. And it was, I can remember going under that barbed wire. You duck your head, you know, and pray. And what a stupid thing it was, wasn't it? Really? Yeah.
One thing there?
Sure.
This is more recently, and I think you may remember 1948. I think it was 1948. We were in the eighth grade, and the school had so many pupils that they took a bus, and we went to where the town hall was, the eighth grade, half the eighth grade went down there and went to school there. They had the boys' room and the girls' room, and there were chemical toilets, as I remember. We walked in, and we had Stanley Banker was a teacher, and he prepared us for the Regents in January. We started there in the fall, and in January we took the Regents, and I think that everybody that went there was successful in passing the eighth grade Regents.
In the middle of the year,
yeah,
we didn't have a teacher the first 6 months. It was like, on every day. He straightened us out. And then he went right into the eighth grade with us.
Oh, yeah?
Or we never went.
We used to drive the bus from the school down, then we come back for lunch, and then go back down, and then come back up.
Yeah.
Laverne, where was that school?
That was the old town hall,
which is now the museum. But he went to Gilboa School.
I went to Gilboa Central School, and the school was so, there was like 520, 530 students, and we just had it in one building. I didn't have room for everybody.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So they took half of the eighth grade, and we went down there.
Wow.
Well, they did that also when I was a eighth grader. But we didn't go to another school. But what they did was, they must have given us specific classes, because we took the Regents in January. And if you took them in past, you went into high school. And so I had 4.5 years of high school and a half a year of eighth grade. There was Clyde, did it, your sister Clyde, and there were several of them, well, more than several. We had 40 kids, and that was, 40 kids was a lot for one teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Today, can you imagine, it's only 20. Yeah, so half of them, they divided it, and half of us went, took the Regents in January, and the other half stayed back, and they all passed that way, you're right.
You know what's interesting too is it seems that, hearing all the discussions, that almost all of the teachers in the one-room schoolhouses were women. Very few were men.
Well, I had a man.
Yeah, I know a couple of people.
Yeah,
you
I didn't put him name.
Fancher, I had a man.
Yeah, I had a man. His name was Arthur Bush.
Yeah.
And he was there. One of the things we didn't say was the teacher often boarded with the families,
mm-hmm.
and took turns going around the different families during the school year.
Huh.
And so, like, the farm where the schoolhouse was built, usually the farmer donated the land, and then the community built the school. I believe that's what happened. And then as soon as the school was thrown up, then the district turned the land back over to the farm, because that was the contract, or I don't know whether it was a contract or not, but an agreement. But anyway, Arthur taught, and he was living with us, and he was smoking cigarettes, which nobody smoked in my family except pipes. Okay. So I was just fascinated by this, and I wanted to smoke a cigarette so bad. So
it'll stunt your growth.
Well, so anyway, I got a hold of one of his. He went to school, and he left the cigarettes on the table there in the living room, and I got my father reading me a story, and then I climbed off his lap, and he was very busy. My uncle was happened to be laying on the couch, and I went over and I got a cigarette very carefully, and then I got his matches, and then I went over behind a chair. And I put the cigarette in my mouth like I'd seen Arthur do, and I lit the match, but I didn't know enough to, so I was burning my fingers. So I put the match down, and then I put well, then that kind of burned my face. So then I was trying to hold it. At that point, my uncle decided that we were going to burn the house down. So he put an end to my smoking. That's the only cigarette I ever smoked.
Wow. Or didn't.
That's pretty funny. Wow.
So you learned a lot from your teachers. That's what I'm trying to say.
I want to thank everyone here. Thank you very, very much. It was an enjoyable time.